Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Pigskin Prodigies podcast. I'm Dan Musso and I'm joined by Kevin Bargender. And today we're going to be breaking down the last week in Wisconsin Badgers and Green Bay Packers football. But I wanted to start off by talking about the Wisconsin Badgers and their matchup against Kent State this past weekend. So Wisconsin won this game 48-0. I think it was a shutout and a blowout win like we kind of both, I would assume, expected. Improved to 5-0 on the season. I don't think there's a whole lot to take away from this game, just given the quality of opponent that they went against. But a few notes on that game that I just want to say before I ask you a couple questions about it. So the defense was dominant as expected, pitched another shutout and racked up 9 sacks. Outside linebacker Zach Bond added 3 more sacks to what's been a very good season with 6 sacks total on the season and 9.5 tackles for loss over 5 games. And then Jonathan Taylor did what we expected. He added another 200 all-purpose yards and 5 total touchdowns to keep the Heisman campaign rolling. And we got to see a little bit of Graham Mertz, so I want to ask you about that. He kind of came in kind of in mop-up duty after the blowout was already established, and we got to see a little action from him. So obviously it's a small sample size and it's not against a great team, but I guess what did you think of Mertz and his limited action, and do you think that he will continue to get more game reps in these next coming weeks before Ohio State?
I thought Mertz almost looked better than Jack Cohn a little bit. And that's just my bias because I like Graham Mertz. But, you know, when Graham Mertz goes into the game and just the ball he throws just looks perfect. And I feel like I have much more confidence in him passing the ball versus just Jack Cohn. When Jack Cohn goes back to pass, I get nervous because I'm like, all right, just don't screw it up. But when Graham Mertz, I kind of get excited when I see him drop back. I'm like, hey, there's extreme potential that this could be a big play. And he made some nice passes. Again, he found Jack Dunn, Adam Krumholz. He kind of started finding some of the backup guys and developed a nice chemistry with them. And I know it's against Kent State. They're not like the best group of five team even. So you can take it with a grain of salt, but I don't know. I just kind of like what I saw. And I think this is one of those indications by Paul Chryst that, hey, they finally feel like Graham Mertz has ascended to that number two role over Chase Wolf. And I think they might feel comfortable if they get into a game like versus Ohio State and, you know, they're getting blown out, down 3-4 scores, or even two, three scores, they might turn to Graham Mertz and have him relieve Jack Cohn and see if he can kind of spark something with this team. It's amazing because early in the year, they had Chase Wolf number two, unquestioned. He had one more year of experience than Graham. And I was like, okay, whatever. Maybe it's just he's just not ready. But I feel like him playing right away and Chase Wolf not playing at all versus Kent State, I think that's kind of a sign that he's getting very, very close to being ready. And he might be ready to take that starting spot. Will it happen this year? Who knows? But if they keep winning, probably not. But, you know, they get it to the Ohio State game, it's going to be really tough to win that game just running the ball. They're going to have to probably pass the ball. If Jack Cohn doesn't keep improving, he could get replaced. I'm not saying he will, but, you know, there's a decent shot. Talking about kind of some of the other offensive players, Jonathan Taylor, just another solid day, 5 touchdowns. You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot to say about him anymore. He just kind of solidifies what we think of him every time he touches the field. It feels like I'm pretty ready to put him in my top three for the Heisman. He's got to be the best running back I've ever seen for Wisconsin. Now, I never really got to see Ron Dayne. I was very young when he was really good in 96 through 99. So I was 1 and 4. So between the ages of 1 and 4. So I wasn't very old. But
they still have had a lot of good running backs since then.
Yes, yeah, and you could argue Monty Ball, who actually still has more rush yards than Jonathan Taylor all time. And, I mean, James White, Melvin Gordon, 3 really good running, P.J. Hill, John Clay. I mean, the list kind of keeps going on. So Corey Clement. So, you know, they've had some very average to very solid running backs come through the program, and this guy's just got it all. He's got the speed, he's got the power, the quick twitch. He's just hard to bring down. If he's not in the top three for the Heisman, I mean, you could make some arguments for quarterbacks with, you know, Tua and all those guys, but, you know, and Jalen Hurts. But, you know, if he's not number three, I don't know why. I mean, are you really going to leave it up to three quarterbacks? I feel like he's got to at least get consideration for the Heisman. Maybe not win it, because I know it's really tough to win it, but especially as a non-quarterback.
Especially,
but,
yeah, right.
So, I mean, I get all that, but he's got to be up there. And especially if he continues this versus Michigan State this Saturday and then goes against Ohio State and proves again. Last time he played Ohio State, it didn't go so well. So he's got a chance to redeem himself. But the offense as a whole, it just really looked good Saturday. And I know it was versus a kind of an inferior team, but, you know, you can see what they can be at their full potential. Now, can they do that versus the better teams? That's the real question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, next week the Badgers have Michigan State coming up, a decent opponent, I think. And then after that, they've got Illinois before they take on Ohio State in Columbus. So now I want to get into talking about Packers versus Cowboys. And the Packers won that game 34-24, improved to 4-1 on the season. And a couple notes on that game I just want to kind of list before we get into our conversation. Aaron Jones had a career game, probably the best game of his career, actually, with 19 carries for 107 yards. Also, 4 rushing touchdowns and added 7 catches for 75 yards through the air. So, huge game for Aaron Jones, really carried their offense in that game. Also, a couple notes on the defense. Defense gave up 563 yards of total offense, but they were kind of bend but don't break in this game, I think. Forced 3 turnovers and held the Cowboys to a respectable 24 points, although if Brett Maher doesn't miss those 2 field goals, it would have been 30, but still did good enough to get the win for the Packers. And then, for some reason, still were able to win, even though didn't perform well in some of the key situational stats that typically correlate with winning, like third down conversions and like yards allowed. So that was really encouraging to see. And then I thought Kevin King, I give that guy a lot of credit because he wasn't even expected to play in this game, but he gutted it out and put together a good performance. I think one of the best of his career, and continued his positive development for this season. And then Brian Bulaga was one other player that I wanted to highlight. I thought he's had a tremendous year this year. He's gone against a gauntlet of pass rushers, really, with some of the teams that they played against, Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Danielle Hunter, Brandon Graham, and Khalil Mack, and he's not allowed a single sack or quarterback hit this year. So huge props to both of those players, and I think that they've been an integral part of the success that the Packers have had this season. So now I want to turn it over to you and ask you, what were your takeaways from this game, and I guess what stood out to you?
Yeah, no, my main takeaway is, you know, the game definitely wasn't as close as the score would indicate. It was much more of a blowout early on, and then it just kind of turned into a close game at the end. The Packers got lucky, though. I mean, some of those missed field goals, you know, could have kind of, if those would have been converted, you know, Packers would have been kind of reeling a little bit, not reeling, but the Cowboys would have still been in the game, and only an onside kick away from getting the ball back and tying the game. So, you know, I think they dodged a few bullets there. It seems like they just play so well in Dallas for some reason. I don't know why, but whenever they play the Cowboys in Dallas recently, it's just been like,
they've just had their number.
Yeah, they've owned it. I mean, they've never lost in Dallas, not even the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I'm talking about the new stadium, obviously, but it's just like, it's weird. It's like that's their, like, Green Bay South for some reason, which is great. I mean, I'll take it. But it's just weird. They seem to play very well in a dome for some reason. Their offense almost looks a little more explosive. But, you know, I mean, it's 1 week, but I definitely have more confidence in the offense, even without Devontae Adams. The pass game looked pretty explosive still. Hopefully Adams is back. this upcoming week. He's got an extra day with the Monday night game. But you never know. That turf toe is kind of a tough one. But, you know, even without him, they still scored touchdowns, and they were still doing fairly well. So I'm not too worried about the offense. The defense played really solid in the first half, gave up some yards and big plays at the end. But, you know, if they hold every team to zero going into half, I'm okay with that. We should be able to win most of those games. So that's what I thought. How about you?
A couple other things I just wanted to add on this game. I thought Matt LaFleur really had a terrific game plan going into this one. Really got Aaron Jones on a lot of runs between the tackles, which is where Dallas's weakness on the defensive line lies, and got Jones out into space, and he was able to create some yards after the catch. So I think he put together a really solid game plan for this game, and that's a big reason that the Packers won. Another thing I wanted to mention that surprised me about this game is how little Ezekiel Elliott was run. I think it's because they kind of chose to air it out more so early in the game, and then they kind of dug themselves into a hole, and then they kind of had to abandon the run game after that. So I was surprised to see that Elliott only had 12 carries, and I think that's a big reason they lost. They didn't control time of possession at all and didn't feed their best player nearly as much as they should have, especially considering the Packers had the 26th-ranked run defense coming into this week. You'd think they would have tried to establish the run early.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, that's what I kept telling. I was watching the game with a Dallas Cowboy fan, and the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, they're going to start running the ball, right? Nope, keep passing and keep passing. Interception, interception, interception. So it was a really strange game plan by Dallas to not exploit the Packers' weak run defense. As far as the Packers' offense goes, too, I forgot to mention this. You know, it was really weird that, again, started off explosive. In the second half, I mean, they still score points, but they seem to fade a little bit towards the end in the fourth quarter. So it's just, like, concerning that they're having problems kind of, I guess you could say, putting away the game. They really haven't played a full, complete game on offense yet. And that's what I'm really looking for. I know this is only their fifth week, but they still, you know, you can't play like that every week. Somebody's going to beat you. And I know they've lost already once, but, you know, Detroit will be kind of a tougher test, even though it's at Lambeau. And so, and they're going to have to play the Kansas City coming up in a few weeks, too. So they're going to have to kind of keep playing better on offense and keep improving. And Rodgers is going to have to throw a few touchdowns. But, yeah, like you said, I thought it was a good game plan from the Packers. Pretty poor from the Cowboys.
So one other note I wanted to mention on this game is, well, a thing that surprised me, I guess, was that Rodgers threw zero touchdowns and the Packers were still able to put up 34 points. Okay, so then the last thing I wanted to mention before we move on to the next topic regarding this game is Packers receivers and their lack of production in this game. So actual wide receivers, not Aaron Jones, not Jimmy Graham, none of the tight ends, combined for just 4 catches and 55 yards with no touchdowns. So, and we also saw the passing offense struggle after Devonta Adams exited the Eagles game as well. So I just wanted to ask you, do you think the Packers should trade for a veteran wide receiver before the trade deadline this year?
I would give it some time still. I'd wait till that November date and give Jaramo Allison and MVS a second chance. I know they don't have Equanimeous St. Brown this year because they put him on IR before the start of the season. You know, Kumaro was supposed to be this guy. I mean, he's always hyped up during every preseason, and he had a decent regular season game against the Jets last year. But he's really struggled and not really gotten open very much. So it'd be really nice to see him kind of explode onto the scene like we kind of thought he was going to. And they got rid of Trevor Davis, so they're starting to get thin at receiver, which is kind of the opposite of what we thought they were going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one thought that, oh, hey, they're going to trade Trevor Davis and Equanimeous and Devonta Adams would both be out for, I mean, a considerable amount of time for EQ, but it looks like it's going to be a little bit longer for Devonta Adams. So it's like really shocking, surprising kind of where they're at in their depth. I mean, they still have Jaramo Allison, who's a starting caliber receiver. MVS can be a starting caliber receiver, but after that, it gets kind of thin. I mean, there isn't a ton of guys that you'd feel comfortable throwing out there with the number one group. So, you know, yeah, I would consider it trading before the deadline, but I wouldn't go like way out of my way to get someone that's going to cost a ton of money like AJ Green. It'd be fun to get him on the team, but I don't think they go that route. I kind of feel like they're more of a draft and develop. They want to go grab a receiver in the draft. You know, there's a few good ones this year. So, but yeah, as far as expensive receivers, no, they might go for a cheap option though, especially if Davante Adams continues to miss games.
Yeah, I kind of think they should definitely explore this trade if they can get a receiver. Like you said, I don't think they should overpay or make a move out of desperation for a receiver, but if they can get one for a reasonable price, like a mid-round draft pick, and get a solid number two receiver, I think that would be really beneficial to this team. Like, Emmanuel Sanders, I think, would be a good trade target. The Broncos, they're pretty much out of the playoff race at this point, so maybe they could get him relatively cheap. And then a couple others. You said AJ Green. I'm assuming that's not a realistic one because of the draft capital that it would probably take to acquire him, and also his age and injury history over the recent years. I feel like he's probably not a likely option for, I guess, a trade target. But then one other one that I think they could consider is Corey Davis. Now that they have AJ Brown, I think they'd be fine at receiver if they traded Corey Davis. And they're a run-first offense, and they're not really taking advantage of Corey Davis's skill set right now because they are a run-first offense, and Mariota, I don't think his skill set aligns with Corey Davis's strengths very well. So maybe they'd be willing to part with him because they have AJ Brown now, and because they're more of a run-first team. So I think he could be another trade target for the Packers, as well as Emmanuel Sanders. And another target that's a tight end that I floated out on Twitter earlier today is OJ Howard. You just look at him and Bruce Arians' offense, they're barely using him at all. And I think he could be such a huge boost to the Packers if they tried to trade for him. Now, I don't think they should give away like a first-round pick or anything for him, but if they can get him from a third, I would definitely do that in a heartbeat. And I would even consider a second round for him because I just feel like he'd be such a huge help to this offense with his ability to block and what he can do as a receiver. I think he'd be a big upgrade over anybody they have right now.
It's too bad that they kind of missed out on getting T.J. Hockenson, but I'm glad they didn't reach for him or reach for Noah Fant. We see Fant in Denver. He's okay, but nothing extremely special like Hockenson has been in Detroit. So, you know, and obviously Sternberger is going to be out for a long time with the IR designation. He's going to be out at least 8 weeks. So, yeah, they're a little thin kind of everywhere. I have tight end, receiver, running back. I know they did promote Trey Carson, but, you know, their offense has kind of taken a hit, and the offensive line's been banged up, and kind of a typical Packers year a little bit.
What do you think of a O.J. Howard trade scenario?
Yeah, you know, I liked him coming out of college. I know he was a first-round pick, and I thought, like, oh, wow, Tampa Bay got a steal kind of, and you know, he's a guy that's going to burst onto the scene, and he showed some flashes, but, you know, Jameis Winston's not really the best quarterback in the league, and he's good at times, but he never really was like that elite guy that people were expecting him to be out of Alabama. So, yeah, I'd love to see him in green and gold and just see if he can kind of take some of the success that he had at Alabama and bring it to Green Bay. But I feel like that's a little far-fetched right now after they're still spending money on Jimmy Graham. They brought back Mercedes Lewis. They've got Tanyan, who actually was also hurt during the Dallas game, ironically. So, you know, I think they still have some depth there, and I think they love Tanyan too. So I don't see them going after a tight end. Like you said, maybe a receiver like Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah, I think that, I mean, we both know that Brian Gutekunst loves to kind of tinker with the trade deadline. Last year, he shipped Ty Montgomery off and got a seventh-round pick in 2020, yes, this year's draft. And then he also shipped off HaHa Clinton-Dix and got a fourth-round pick, which was a steal pretty much compared to how much he's really contributing anyway. So, you know, I see him doing something. I'm just not sure where. I don't think it's going to be the tight end position, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a few positions that I think they could address, like we mentioned already, wide receiver and tight end. Also, if they could find a linebacker with more coverage ability, I think that would be a big help to the defense. So those are kind of the key weaknesses that I see from the Packers so far as position groups. What would you point to, I guess, as the weaknesses as far as position groups so far?
Yeah, I mean, I would mention the inside linebackers. It's amazing how like deep the outside linebackers are and how thin the inside linebackers are. You know, Oren Burks is still out. They've got Blake Martinez. He's basically the only guy in the middle. They have Ty Summers, but he hasn't played as a rookie much. They're kind of rotating guys in and out there. And I mean, I'm okay with it. They didn't get gashed last week like I thought they would. So, you know, maybe that's a sign that things are getting better. But it would be nice to get Oren Burks back. I mean, they really, really need him. He can cover. He's basically a safety that's playing linebacker. So we know he can cover. He's a little weak against the run, but we'll take it for now, I think. You know, we know that Martinez is a little susceptible in the pass game too. So I'd be okay with, you know, going after a decent inside linebacker. I know they brought in, I believe it's B.J. Goodson from the Giants in a trade earlier this year. And he's played okay. But it would be nice to kind of really solidify that defense. And you know, the secondary is strong, the edge rushing is strong, the safety play is pretty strong. Just got to get that last little piece, and they could really be a dominant defense.
Yeah, I think they're just missing a few pieces, and if they could make a in-season trade and fill one of those holes, I think that could go a long way in kind of helping their playoff chances this year. So last topic I wanted to talk about before we sign off here, Packers versus Lions. It's their upcoming game on Monday Night Football this week. Well, technically at the start of next week, but for this NFL week. So Lions are coming off a bye. They're 2-1-1 right now. The Packers are 4-1. And the Packers return to Lambeau Field for this game. So just want to ask you, I guess, what are you expecting from this matchup? And how do you think these two teams kind of compare at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of see like a revenge tour for the Packers. They've already knocked off the Bears once this year, which they did last year, I know, too. But convincingly in Chicago, they've knocked off the Vikings in Lambeau. They tied last year. And now it's like, hey, we haven't beaten the Lions in a few years. It's time to get a win against them. I know they've only lost one game, but still, I think it's a very winnable team to beat. And I want to see them knock off the Lions. And then I think they're really, really good and they're back. Just kind of a team they've struggled against recently for some reason. But I know Matt Patricia's got that defense ready. He's turning into a pretty good head coach in Detroit. I think my bold prediction is I think the Packers probably win 27-17, I'm going to say. I think that Packers that defense also kind of holds them to kind of a low-scoring affair, and that offense finally gets going again like it did last week. But I'm looking forward to them just kind of redeeming themselves. They had that huge streak of winning 20-some-odd years in Green Bay against the Lions, and then finally that streak broke a few years ago. But I want to see them kind of return to that and get back to being the normal Packers that we've grown up seeing. But I know the Lions will be a good test. They've got a decent run game. They've got a good tight end. Their receivers are pretty decent. Stafford, you know, he always plays good early in the season, and it's still fairly early in the season. So I expect them to give the Packers a pretty good look. I don't see any blowout. How about you?
Yeah, I think 27-17 sounds about right. I think the Packers will finally snap their losing streak to Detroit in this upcoming game. And Lions are actually a better team than I expected them to be so far this year. their defense has performed especially a lot better than I thought they would, and the offense looks fairly explosive with Kenny Golladay. You've got Kerryon Johnson, TJ Hawkinson added to the mix this offseason. So they can definitely pose some problems on offense, and their defense has been playing pretty solid. So, yeah, I think it'll be a relatively close game. I think the Packers ultimately win it, and I think their passing offense will take a step this week.
Agreed.
Anything else to add on this game before we sign off?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of important to kind of keep stacking that success. I think going 5-1 would be a huge step in the right direction, and I think really would make Packer fans believe that, hey, they're really, really back. After knocking off three NFC North opponents, that would just be really huge, I think, for everyone's confidence. And they need this win because they're going to be going on the road for a while, too. And this is one of the last home games before a long road stretch. So, yeah, take these wins as you can get them, because they're going to be going to San Diego, to Kansas City, two West Coast teams, or, well, Kansas City's not necessarily West Coast, but AFC West teams, I should say. So it's going to be a little bit of a trip, so they're going to have to get these wins, and which they have so far, at home while they can get them. And that way, if they struggle a little bit later in the year, it's okay. But I totally think that this team could finish 12-4, 13-3. They're that good.
Yeah, definitely a lot better than I saw them being at the beginning of the season, for sure. Also, I think if they were to win this game and improve to 5-1, I think that'd be huge for the rest of the season, because you've got some tougher matchups like Kansas City, like Los Angeles Chargers. Then you've got some teams that were better than expected, like the San Francisco 49ers, and then you still have the Vikings and the Bears again. So, and a lot of those games are road games coming up in the second half of the season, so I think their fast start will really set them up well for the playoff run, hopefully. So that's everything that we had for this week's podcast. Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out Kevin's Wisconsin Badgers fan group on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter @Dan_Wusa, or check out my website, pigskinprodigies.com.